Job. So Job comes right before Psalms in the Old Testament, chapter 38. And we have a handout. So some people with the handout, they take them and they write notes and questions on these and bring them to me next time. Some people do that. So you can do that as well. So here's the message. And you know when I'm coming to an end. So can't get any better than this. So we're talking about Job. So the big feature here in the book of Job, as the Lord has indicated once again in John chapter 3. So in John chapter 3, we'll look in the New Testament, so we'll look around different verses here. But in John chapter 3, we recall that the Lord said this. John chapter 3, speaking to Nicodemus, but he says there in 3:12, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So he starts the Bible off with physical earthly truths, or physical truths that deal with heaven and earth. And if you can't believe these things, then how are you going to believe the spiritual things? That's the message here. So we're dealing here in Job chapter 38. And here he's asking Job a series of questions. Now, Job was a righteous man, but the Lord gave him a trial. He didn't know the nature of the trial, but the trial really was between the Lord and Satan going after Job. And so Job had questions here and so on. And yet he did trust in the Lord. We know that. Chapter 13. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So he makes it very clear. The Lord has to deal with him and indicate to Job, just because you're probably one of the wisest men in the world, most upright, and so on and so forth, you still don't understand everything of my dealings, because I deal with each believer in an individual way, and you cannot put me in a box. And so I'm dealing with you, and I'm going to demonstrate to you that what do you know? Notice there in Job chapter 38, verse 2, he says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? So who is this person, Job? So you want to know answers here and so on. But I do things, and I don't always need to give you an answer for why I'm doing for them, but it's always for good. It's always for good. And so we're looking here now in our section here. So I've given you the structure of this section here. So the question here is, what knowledge do you have? So that's really the question to Job. What do you know, Job? So you may know some basic facts, but really the only way you know any absolute knowledge is what the Bible tells you. And I don't have to answer everything for you in the way that I deal with you. So here he's now talking about points 6, 7, 8 in the small outline that you have there. The Lord's authority over heaven, the Lord's authority over earth, and the Lord's authority over animals. So who's the one who has authority over everything? That's the Lord. Amen. And so he gives us questions, he gives us answers, he gives Job these things and so on. So some interesting things here, but keep in mind the Lord is the creator, so he knows what he made, how he made it, and so on. So man doesn't know, other than what we have in absolute revelatory truth. And so he's going to ask some questions here and make some statements here relative to his creation. So the premise here, what does feeble man know about God and his creation? So what do we know about God and his creation? If there was never any Bible, we wouldn't know anything about the one who created us. We wouldn't know, but we do have some revelatory truth. When the Lord spoke a light into existence, this gives us the idea, this is in Genesis chapter 1, that speaking has to do with vibrations. Vibrations, then the Lord's vibrations of his voice materialized into the cosmos, or heaven and earth. And we, Adam came from the vibrations of earth, and so materialized, and so we all are created by him, and through his creation. And so we basically are the manifestation of the vibrations of the Lord's words. When you think of that. And so, now, if the Lord has done this, can he provide salvation for his people? Well, he does. He's created us to be saved and to protect his people. Can he protect his people? That's his plan there. God even preserved his inspired words. Now, I was talking to Ryan. I have to mention by name here in the pulpit. But anyway, talking to Ryan. I can do that. They pointed out here in the next chapter, and I think this is good, concerning the ostrich. We'll get to this, but we'll cover it here now. So 39:13, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high or flies away, she scorneth the horse and his rider. And so what the Lord is saying here is he's created ostrich, which doesn't care about her eggs. But the Lord cares about the ostrich's eggs. Think of that. So he cares about everything. And so then I took this step further and wrote an article, but on the Lord not only cares about the ostrich eggs, he cares about his words being preserved. And so we have these preserved words in our Bible. He cares about his words. I mean, if he cares about an ostrich egg, and he's preserved the ostrich through all the centuries, so we have the preserved ostrich lineage, right? That's great. But we don't have ostriches running around here, right? And so on. But if he cares enough to preserve the ostrich who doesn't care about her eggs, does he care about preserving his words? Well, surely. So anyway, I'll mention this again when we get to it. But now the point here is, Job, what do you know? And who's in control of everything? See, so who's in control of our lives? So what do we know and who's in control? So notice, first of all, he starts talking about his authority over heaven. So remember, he's already said in John, if I've told you earthly things or physical things and you believe not, how will you believe the heavenly things I tell you? So Genesis starts with the physical creation. So here he says here in 31, just Job 38, 31. Let's see, where are we? Okay, so here he asks the question, canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades or the loose bands of Orion? So he asks several questions. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? All right, so here he's talking about constellations and stars. So who created the constellations? Who created them? Well, the Lord did. He did that. And so he mentions several specific ones here. Pleiades, give you the Hebrew word behind that, but it's a constellation of seven hot blue luminous stars, so by telescope they look bluish, and known as the Seven Sisters, and I got this off the internet, so Jack help me out now, formed in the last 100 million years. So is there anything wrong with this statement here? Uh-oh. I say what? No, that's evolution. The Bible doesn't teach evolution. The Bible teaches that about 4,000 before Christ, Adam was created. And now we're about 2,000 years past Christ. So Earth and God's creation been around about 6,000 years. That's what the Bible teaches. And you can demonstrate this through the chronology from certainly Solomon back to Christ. And we've got about 4,000 years there, or less than that. Or from the time of Christ back through Solomon to Adam's about 4,000 years. So we don't believe in evolution. Evolution is anti-God. It's opposed to the Bible. It cannot be proved. It's a heresy and so on. By the way, the Pleiades is a constellation. So evolution would say, as the Big Bang has happened, and these stars that make up constellations have been thrown out here, so in the so-called millions of years, these stars would keep moving, and so the constellations would dissipate. We wouldn't have these constellations. Follow that? So what would happen to them? As the stars move away, they're no longer in what we call a constellation. But here, back in Job's time and our time, the Pleiades constellation is still intact, and it hasn't spread out because it's not spreading out. All right? So just one thought to think about. Then he mentions Orion. So Orion is another constellation. And it's prominent during the winter evenings in the northern hemisphere with its two brightest stars, Rigel and Betelgeuse, all right, or Betelgeuse. All right, so these stars. Then we have another word here, Maseroth. Maseroth has to do with probably a constellation made up of stars. Now, the word is found one other time in 2 Kings chapter 23, 2 Kings chapter 23. Notice how it's translated, 2 Kings chapter 23. And then here the kings of the north and south kingdom here were, especially the northern kingdom, were involved in idolatry. And so in 2 Kings chapter 23 verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets. So here's our word planets, and to all the host of heaven. So here they're burning incense. They're worshiping the planets and the stars and the sun and moon. It's called idolatry. We worship the God who created these things, not these items here. So here we see Maseroth, or the root word is also translated planet, or planets back in that passage. All right, so he's asking in the verses here, can you impact these constellations in any way? Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or cast the guide Arcturus with his sons? So here this Arcturus was a bright star, and it has stars connected with it, which is sometimes called the Great Bear and her two cubs. But that's what he's alluding to. So in other words, Job, do you know how I did this? Can you control any of this? What do you think, Job? What do you know? Then notice, he not only is talking about the stars, but he's talking about the statutes relative to the stars. Statutes would be, or ordinances would be, the laws. What about the laws out there? The laws out there, all right? So, he says in verse 33, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, or the laws? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? So first of all, do you know what the laws are in heaven? Do you, by the way, you know what the speed limit is out there in heaven? No? You know what speed limit is out there? Or whatever law we might have. But then if you know the laws, can you make them work here on earth, or have dominion here on earth? So that's a question, quite the question. Do I know what the laws are out in outer space? And if I would know that, can I make them applicable here on earth? First of all, I don't know the laws. Secondly, I wouldn't be able to make them applicable. You follow that? So what do we know? What do we know? Now, speaking of these laws, or kukah is a word there, translated something like that. Notice what the Lord says here in Jeremiah. So let's look here in the prophet Jeremiah. So it comes after Isaiah and Psalms and Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah. So we're looking here in Jeremiah chapter 31. All right, so Jeremiah 31:36. So this is what the Lord said. Now he gives a challenge to mankind. Feeble mankind, listen up. So Jeremiah 31, verse 36. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Now the ordinances have to do with verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. So you notice how we can predict when the sun rises is going to be next year. We can also know when the sunrise was 100 years ago. Why? Because of the steady movement of the sun and the ordinances of the sun. And so the Lord has so created so that we know when we're going to have a full moon. We know all these things because of the Lord's faithfulness in creating the sun and moon as light bearers. And as light bearers, they also give us time. So how do we have time here on earth? We have time based on sun and moon. That's where time comes from, sun and moon, all right? So notice the Lord indicates here there's a regularity of the sun and the moon and so on. And if any of these ordinances of the sun, which when it comes up every morning now in the fall, it's coming up a little bit later, you know, and so on. By December and January, it'll be dark in the morning and be dark at night when we leave church, basically. So anyway, but he goes on to say, and here's the clincher in verse 37. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. So in other words, he's saying, puny man, if you can really measure the stars out there, and if you can really dig into the center of the earth and figure out what's going on there, then I'm giving up all my promises to Israel. So what do you think? Is he going to give up his promise to Israel? No. So now I know you go on the internet and you see what they say about the distances of all the planets, or not the planets necessarily, but the stars and constellations and so on. They've got this all figured out. Because they're basing this on a constant which is not constant. That's the speed of light. All right, so that takes us to, before we leave this, so remember the Lord's promises now, chapter 33 of Jeremiah. Verse 25, so Jeremiah 33:25. If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of the sun and the earth. So remember, these are the laws that work. So sun comes up, goes down, moon, and heaven and earth. Then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity return and have mercy on them. So, in other words, Lord makes these promises that if I deviate in what he's created here at this point, then he's going to throw away all of his promises to Israel, which means the future, our future, is gone. Now, he asked the question here in verse 33, knowest the ordinances of heaven? No. Canst thou set dominion thereof in the earth? All right, so here's where the bugaboo comes in, for science, not for us. So what is the speed of light in the second heaven? Well, on day one, it was instantaneous. So the Lord said, let there be light. There's light, instantaneous. All right. Now, before that, point two, ordinances due to laws in heaven work on earth. That's the question. So how did Einstein know? Well, he didn't know. So he didn't know the speed of light. He didn't know the speed of light outside of our solar system. He assumed it's a constant. That's why they have a C to indicate constant in math and so on, a constant. He assumed it's a constant. The Bible indicates it's not a constant. It was instantaneous when the Lord created here. And so now the interesting thing is here, in NASA had real problems here when Pioneer 10 and 11 space probes were sent out. So they sent out and went past the sun. And so once they went past the sun, apparently the speed of light sped up because they could see the probes sooner because of the speed of light and thinking that the probes hadn't gone as far as they should have. Now you follow this now. So in other words, to them it looked like the Pioneer 10 and 11 slowed down because the speed of light was faster past the sun, and so they saw the probes, what they thought were closer, really they'd gone much faster, but because the speed of light sped up, it looked like they were slowed down. So think through that a little bit, but there's the Pioneer 10 and 11 space probes. Now this, all this is doing is demonstrating secondarily about the speed of light, all right? Slowed down once past the sun. So, of course, they came up with all types of theories because this couldn't be the case. We all know the speed of light is constant all the way to the edge of the cosmos. How do we know that? How do we know that? We don't know that. We don't know that. Einstein never went out there to measure it. He came up with a formula that worked on Earth and within the solar system, perhaps, but that's about it. So the speed of light increased past the sun, and it looked like they were slowed down, so they could be seen. So anyway, but the ordinances. So do you know what the ordinances are in outer space, the laws, the rules, whatever? And if you did, do they work here on Earth? Well, this is just one example that on Earth we think the speed of light is a constant, and maybe to the sun and so on. But can we make that ordinance work throughout all of God's cosmos? Because obviously from a Bible point of view, the whole cosmos is going around the earth. Now you think about that. So anyway, so he asks an interesting question here, Mr. Scientist. What do you think about that? All right. So anyway, verse 34 through 38, we see now his authority over earth and the weather. Who is influencing the heavens over earth? This is verse 34 and 35. Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of rain, waters rather, may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? So Job, can you do this? Can you talk to the heavens and make it rain? Ever try to do that? All right. How about sending out lightning? Can you send out lightning bolts? Can you do that? I know that you might want to, but no, you can't do that. You can't zap people. All right. All right. So you can't do that. That's what he's asking here. Canst thou? And so who's influencing the heavens over earth? The clouds over the earth. Chapter 36, he has already talked about this a little bit. 36, 27. here, so the Lord is saying this. Elihu's saying it's about the Lord. For he maketh small the drops of water, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly, and so on. Also, can any understand the spreadings of the cloud or the noise of his tabernacle? So can we really understand the lightning, thundering, how this works, and who's behind it, and so on. What do we know on that? And what about the rain? Can we make it rain? And the lightning. So he's using these different illustrations here. So who's in control? You see, so we have to ask the question, who is control of God, this creation? Is this just something that came out of evolution, just happened together? Just happened like this? No, it didn't happen. There's a creator behind all this, and he's in control of everything. The Bible teaches that. By the way, the creator who's in control of everything is also our Savior who saved us. So if you want to attack the creator, then you're attacking the Redeemer. And you can't have it both ways. So evolutionists better line things up and get saved and realize the Bible is true on these things. Who's influencing the heart observing the earth? So I mentioned here John 3:12 and 1 John 2:20. So 1 John 2:20, we can look at this. So here's a verse that all of us can recognize that is important. So here, as John is writing to church members who have a Bible, he says, excuse me, he says in 1 John 2:20, towards the end of, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So we know all things. In other words, if we develop the mind of Christ coming from the Bible, we have an understanding of all God's creation, understanding of what's going on in the world, understanding of what he wants for us in our lives, and so on. We know all things. You know all things. Why? Because verse 27 tells us we have the teacher living within. The teacher of the Bible lives within us, and we can understand everything he's written. We show up for the classroom. That's the local church. We bring our textbook. That's the Bible. We have the teacher, the Holy Ghost, speaking to us through his word. And we learn about his creation. You don't have that, you're going to learn from someone else about something else. It's contrary to the Bible. All right? So, anyway, verse 36. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Well, the Lord does that to us. And then we can understand certain things, but only... we only understand certainly things through the Bible, revelatory truth. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. If we didn't have the Bible, you wouldn't know who is behind creation. You wouldn't know. You'd have to guess. And because of the Bible, it gives us detail about God's creation. So who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who hath stayed the bottles of heaven? So that would be as if the heavens are pouring out from bottles rain, you know, using that analogy. So, what do we know about climate change? Oh, wow. What do we know about climate change? Who's in control of climate change? Oh, I know, it's Mother Nature. Oh, Mother Nature? Really, Mother Nature's in control of climate change? No, it's the Lord. There is no Mother Nature. It's the Lord who's in control of the weather. And so we here on earth are not going to undermine the Lord's weather patterns. He's in control. We're not going to undermine this. This is just a bunch of malarkey to spend a lot of money on something that can never be done. All right? So the Lord's in control. He's the one in control of climate change and not the elites that are flying around and their fueled jets and so on all over the world telling us, turn off your air conditioner. All right, so, okay, so we learn things. That's why we have the mind of Christ. We're learning what Scripture really says, not what the world is telling us. All right, then the control of the weather. So I hear, who's in control, the Lord or Mother Nature? So you listen to the weather channels and so on, and Mother Nature is sending more rain. Really? Have you met Mother Nature yet? No, this is just a way to get around a Bible perspective. This is anti-Christian. It's anti-Christian. And any of these weather reporters, if they want to keep their job, they're not going to say, well, the Lord is in control of this. Oh, they'd be fired in a moment. We live in an evil world. So now, I've mentioned this before, but here we'll look at this again. So 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. So here you might be even putting this down in your Bible now. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. We talk about the evil occurrent. That's the only place that this shows up here. But in Solomon's day, the Lord had so blessed Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4, that he gave him peace from all the nations around for 40 years. They had rest, they had peace, and they had no adversary. That's a bad nation around that tried to undermine them. Or evil occurrent. That has to do with weather, an evil occurrent. The Lord didn't give Solomon bad weather during his 40-year reign. He did allow it to rain and let the crops grow and so on. But anyway, we see these truths here. Now, the Lord has authority over heaven. He has authority over earth. He has authority over the animals. So here we see it in verse 39 and through 41. Oh, by the way, 38, so that was part of all that. So control of the weather. So when the dust groweth into hardness and the clods cleave fast together. So here, when it rains, the dust turns into clods. And so keep in mind, we're made out of the dust. So what happens when it rains? We're the clods. All right, so anyway. But... wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the lion, young lions? When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait. So the Lord knows all about the animals. He's provided for them. He's met their needs and so on. And so then, and then notice in verse 41, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for lack of meat. So notice the Lord takes care of the animal realm. He provides food and so on. And it's interesting when his young ones cry unto God. So we know animals have some sort of a sense, but I wonder if they have any type of sense towards a creator. Anyway, we know that we can communicate with animals. Animals communicate with us and so on. To what consciousness do they have? But who cares for even the animals? So we have several passages. Let's look here in Psalm 147. So this is what the Lord's saying. And Job, what do you know about any of this? See, what do we know about any of this? So Psalm 147, verse 9. Scripture says, he giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. So the Lord is the one who's in control. As well, look in the New Testament. We're familiar with Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. And the Lord's trying to make a point here as well. Matthew chapter 6, 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. So the Lord takes care of the animals. Now the Lord says, are you much better than they? Are you better than a fowl? The Lord takes care of fowls. You think the Lord will take care of you?
Right.
Sure, and he does. And so he goes on, he takes care of the lilies and so on and so forth. So here we see the Lord is indicating to Job his creation. So here we get a perspective that God is the creator. So we don't hold the position of evolution that one day there was a big bang, and so there was nothing, but it exploded, and now there's a big bang. Or there was something that exploded, but then we have to ask, where did the something come from that exploded to start the big bang? So that doesn't work for rational people, and certainly for Bible believers. We believe God is the creator. He created everything. He's created us. He's the creator, and he's going to be the judge. But in between his creation and his judge, ship is his Redeemer. He wants to redeem mankind, so man, when he meets the judge, will not be cast into the lake of fire, but will be, as they've trusted in the Lord, they'll be saved and be with him in new heavens and earth. And so the Lord gives us, we go through this, we see a great deal of science coming under attack. But I think verse 33 is such a key here. You know what the laws are. So what's the speed limit out in outer space? All right, tell me with great affirmation. Don't make an assumption. You tell me. You been there? No, I haven't been there. So then you don't know anything, and you can't even apply any of the rules or happen out in outer space to the earth. Can you do that? You don't even know what they are. You follow that? So proud man thinks he knows everything. He's got it all figured out, and the Bible says he doesn't know anything. And without knowing the Savior, you will not know anything. And so we're thankful for this. So in conclusion, so Job, see, what do you know about anything? Even my ways of dealing with the saints. So I'm dealing with you, Job, and you don't know what's going on. And so what do you know? Well, zip and zero, that's what you know. And so you better fear me. You better fear me. Fear the Lord. Trust him as Savior. Repent, believe, be saved. And then you begin to have the mind of Christ and understand biblical truths rather than what the world is throwing at each person, each one of us. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. Thank you for the book of Job and the opportunity to go through this. We pray that you'll help us to grow in understanding and truth and wisdom. Thank you for revelation. Book of scripture here, the revelatory truth you've given us. Help us to believe the Bible, put to practice. Bless each person now, we ask for. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.